I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Please be advised. This podcast contains explicit language and mature themes.
This is The Shadows.
Episode four.
Decision.
Why can't we just say what we are? A pair of sweet, woolly socks, looking for some one-time fun with a sweet, cottony beauty.
Ooh.
There's something endlessly funny about sock puppets. I'm now collaborating with my mentor, Becky. I thought it would be funny for Becky and I to create a show about polyamorous socks. The poly socks were up against the assumption that socks come in pairs. We created two boring-looking married couple socks, Leo and Olive. Leo had a red bow tie at his neck, Olive a red bow tie on her head. Pandora, their third, was a purple polka dot sock with red hair and a tutu. They become a triad and live happily ever after. Charlie shows up at every show, even though I know he hates it. Charlie loves monogamy.
I want to say I love you, but I feel like it's too soon.
I think it might be too soon.
I know.
Charlie and I are in bed. The sun is peeking through the drawn blinds over the windows. I like falling asleep with the blinds up so the sun will pour into my face in the morning. Charlie likes to sleep with the blinds down because he's afraid that people will see in the window at night. Charlie and I don't do any of the things I usually do when I'm falling in love. We don't say things like, "Where did you come from?" or stare into each other's eyes for hours, or indulge in any sort of fantasy that before there was a part of us missing and now we are both complete. Instead, when he does his laundry, he offers to do mine too. When I say I'm hungry, he stops working and makes sandwiches. He notices that I left my bike lights on my bike and he takes them off and keeps them in his pocket all day long until we see each other at night. Meanwhile, I'm wearing a sweater that a man I met on the train gave to me.
Okay, Caitlin P. I'm reading from a small little book that I bought from a shop in Rome.
I am listening to voice memos of the man I met on the train's diary.
I'm using the sweater as an excuse to see her again.
Big news. I just bought a ticket to fly in a plane to MY.
It's just kind of a thing for me. Like if I'm sleeping with somebody, I don't sleep with other people. So.
Does that mean I'm your girlfriend?
Well, if, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, I do. Definitely.
Okay.
Like, I mean, so what, how do you define monogamy? Like, if you want to be exclusive, like, what's the, how do you define it?
Really?
I mean, I don't know.
That's not obvious or
I mean,
clear?
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody has a different line.
I guess I just always noticed if I'm attracted to somebody and then I just stop there.
I've never tried that before.
You've never tried that. Yeah. Are you sure you don't sound convinced?
I would love to try out monogamy. I think that people seem to think it's a great thing.
I want to try Pilates.
I mean,
sounds good for you.
Yeah. People seem to like it.
For it. People seem to like it.
Yeah, I feel like it's worth a shot. It's a little bit romantic, even. Just me and you.
I mean, from everything I've seen of non-monogamy around me, it does not end well, ever, it seems.
Yeah, but and when does just... do monogamous relationships end well?
I write to Devin. We have to stop writing to each other.
Yes.
Yes.
Can it be tomorrow that we stop?
Okay, tomorrow.
What if I write to you everything that I feel for you in one massive email, and then we stop writing to each other?
Yes, that sounds better.
Okay, let's...
maybe we make a deadline?
Yeah, a deadline.
Wednesday?
Friday? Can we do Friday, instead?
Friday. Yeah.
Friday. Friday where? Baker Island, Vancouver Friday? That's Saturday morning, technically.
I think that's the right Friday.
Okay.
So we're allowed to write each other as much as we want until then.
Yeah.
And we can say whatever we want.
Everything. Say everything.
We don't have to try not to say anything.
We have to say everything.
Okay.
Okay.
Devin and I were just figuring out the parameters of how to be friends.
It feels like I have a crush on the moon.
We're just figuring out the rules.
We only talk about your score for my puppet play from now on.
We are figuring out how to follow them.
I want you in my toothpaste,
my morning coffee,
my folded laundry.
I'm about to brush my teeth thinking of you.
We were practicing following the rules and how to be friends. And practicing involves a lot of failure.
I have this picture up on my laptop now here at work, and I look at it every once in a while and find myself blushing.
Failure and then trying again.
No more emails.
And then failure.
I'll write you one more letter. And then later, probably another one.
And trying again.
We'll keep the love letters we write in a secret box, and we should give them to each other 50 years from
now. That's what we were doing.
I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks. Do you still want me to come?
Yeah, of course I want you to come. You have to come. Please don't not come.
Hey, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. What? What's that face?
I have to tell you something.
Okay. What?
Well, remember that friend that I told you about, Devin, who I met when I was traveling?
Mm-hmm.
He's coming this weekend, so that we can work on the collaborating. And I just wanted to flag that, like, I feel like there's something feeling thing. Like, just a little, it feels like a little bit, there's something, I just wanted to be honest and say that I know that he has a crush on me, and, like, there's like a vibe, and I'm kind of worried that something's going to happen.
Okay. Well, don't let anything happen.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm going to pick Devin up at the airport. It's this weird thing of, like, classifying what behaviors are romantic and what behaviors are just friendly. I'm on the air train, and I'm trying to talk myself up. As soon as I see him, I'm going to tell him that this is not a romantic weekend, that we are just hanging out as friends, and that we cannot, under any circumstances, do anything that would put me in a weird position with Charlie. He knows this already, but I feel like I need to reiterate. I'm in the airport.
Oh my God, there he is.
I see him.
Hello.
Hi.
He's wearing a leather jacket.
Hi.
Hey.
And a wool sweater underneath.
Oh my God.
Traces of eyeliner frame his kind eyes.
Oh, watch out.
And I know. I'm not going to reiterate shit.
Hug?
Hey, hug, yes.
Wow. Let's get a cab.
We're in the cab. He puts his arm around me.
How are you?
It's almost as natural as breathing. We kiss. And then...
This is my place. Let's chill here for a bit, and then I'll walk you to your Airbnb later.
And then... And then... And then... And then...
I'm feeling a little guilty, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
And then...
Remember you told me you loved me, baby. Said you were coming back.
And then...
I love a little cum on my tummy.
And then...
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
So when are you going to be here?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's going to be kind of a late night tonight.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like we're going to try to go for as long as we can.
Okay. Cool. Well, I guess get some good work done and stuff.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
And then...
I don't want... to fill our house with little babies that we make together. Many little babies.
How many?
Too many to count. We lose track of their names. There's ones that we don't even know. There's... You're like, Seamus. You'd be like, Seamus, come here. And I'd have a pause. I'd be like, is one of them called Seamus?
And then... The entire weekend had gone by.
Okay, you feel good with everything that happened?
Yeah, I do.
I miss you.
I miss you too.
Leaving on a promise.
You know what has to happen to make this dream a reality?
What?
I think you need to talk to Charlie.
Yeah, I know.
I go straight to his house. And
hello.
I wait for the right moment to tell him everything.
Yeah, I'm good.
End it. I know that the more respectful thing to do is to tell him right away, before we F. But I'm weak. And then...
You know I love you, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong position. Ow, I got a cramp. Wait, put your hand.
Like, I'm freaking out. Like, this would...
How did this happen?
I don't know.
You're gonna tell Charlie though, right?
I don't know.
I really feel like you should.
You know that Charlie's a better option. You know he's so good to you. You just have to forget it happened and move on with your life. It would be so selfish. It would be selfish for you to tell him.
Charlie's not giving you this, like, romantic spark thing, even if it's really, like, comfortable and you have a lot of connection and, like, that's really important, too. But you and Devin are both, like, weirdos. I don't know. I just get the sense that that weirdo-type person, like, this mirrors you and echoes some of your stuff is the type of person that maybe you should see.
Caitlin, you're supposed to be directing this rehearsal, and everyone is waiting. God damn it, the cranky's not gonna crank itself. Damn it. Call me back.
You're lying. Charlie has no idea what's happening between you and Devin.
You just want to have your cake and eat it too. You know, you're saying, oh, I don't want to tell Charlie the truth because that would hurt him. No, you don't want to tell him the truth because you don't want him to leave you. And that is unfair and fucked up.
I'd never fallen madly in love with two people at once before. Two such different, perfect versions of what love could be. In The Ethical Slut, they say that love isn't finite. I was realizing how not finite it really was. Everything would be fine if I could just ask Charlie to be in an open relationship.
Yeah, but would it really?
My obsession with Devin feels like a full-time job, while I'm working the other full-time job, which is spending as much time as humanly possible naked with Charlie.
While I'm working my part-time job of waitressing.
While I'm working
the job that I've always wanted, which is
actual, real puppetry contracts.
Like, love might not be finite, but the hours in the day are.
My last open relationship kind of sucked.
It was a lot of trying really hard not to feel sad.
Opening your relationship now doesn't make you any less of a cheater.
But it's because I was confused.
And maybe I'm a polyamorist at heart and I agreed to be in a monogamous relationship and that was a big mistake.
Bullshit.
This is my first time dating someone who takes for granted the way a relationship is supposed to go.
We don't do that in Queerland.
We make the rules for ourselves.
Do I owe it to him to tell?
My work.
Why?
You're a cheater.
I don't believe in cheating, quote unquote.
The idea of owning someone
is a hangover from when women were property and virginity had a price.
This is my great chance for love.
You would be an awful
fucking it up.
Throw
caution to the wind. I moved to Nova Scotia,
the most romantic thing to do.
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who calls? Who even calls anymore?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. How was your flight back?
I cried and I watched a shitty action movie. Have you spoken with Charlie?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. I'm gonna...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna... I gotta go.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear your voice?
Yeah. I heard once about a woman who was making out with another man in the basement of her own wedding. It was in the 60s, but for some reason I imagine it in the 80s. I imagine her in a bodacious 1980s wedding dress, big black 1980s hairsprayed hair, dark red lipstick smearing all over her lover's face in a church basement with a weird smell and folding tables, while upstairs in the chapel, her new husband's family sit in the pews, waiting for the ceremony to start. The affair lasted 18 years before she ended it at her husband's request, the time it took her firstborn child to grow into adulthood. At first, as the story goes, her husband said he was okay with it, but he didn't really know the extent of it. He never once took advantage of the open arrangement that they'd both agreed upon. He never had the desire to. And over the years, it became obvious that the arrangement was causing him great anguish. It took several years of observing that anguish for the woman to finally end it with a man she'd been committed to for the exact same length of time. In my own manic confusion, I seek this woman out. I tell her I'm doing research for a puppet play about being in love with two people at the same time. I arrive at her beautiful home, furnished with carpentry touches created by her husband, who she's still married to. It's been 50 years since that wedding day now, and she won't give me any details. I don't want to hurt a hair on his head. She's talking about her husband, the husband who stayed through 18 years of her affair with someone else. Through 32 more years after that. She's giving me nothing, talking in abstract terms that don't make any real sense. I start getting ready to go. She stares out the window. She says to me, "He's dying." "Who?" "The man I kissed in the basement of my own wedding. The man I was with for 10 years. She says 10, but I was told it was 18 by someone who's close to her. "Oh no, that's awful." "He's in a hospital around the corner. Do you think I should go visit him?" The weight of the question bears down on my heart. "Definitely." In the beginning, we talked about getting an apartment on the Upper West Side of Montreal by Paramount Park. We'd stay there once a year for a week for the rest of our lives. I thought about it. Yes, I indulged wholeheartedly in the fantasy. It would be all white, sunlight, with a white bed and bed sheets, hardwood floors. But I couldn't bear the thought of actually doing it, much like the way that I fantasize about suicide sometimes. The fantasy is delicious. But the thought of actually doing it makes me sick. I knew in my heart that what I really wanted was what the wedding woman had. I wanted Charlie to allow me this. I wanted Charlie's consent. But he would never consent. I didn't even dare ask because the thought that I would even want such a thing would make me less attractive to him, probably. The worst part was that I knew whatever I chose to do, I'd be both happy and miserable. That in a way, the choice was totally arbitrary. All I had to do was figure out what I wanted. Figure out some way to predict the future.
Oh my God, Charlie, what are you doing?
The future where Charlie reads every single email I've ever written to Devin.
What are these emails?
Nothing. He breaks up with me violently.
You're sick.
I'm on my deathbed. Charlie is sitting by my side, as he has as my faithful husband for the last 52 years. Devin comes to visit to see me one last time. I want to kiss Devin, but I know that it'll hurt Charlie. I die with that thought on my mind.
What's that mark on your neck?
Oh, we were giving each other hickeys in rehearsal yesterday. It was crazy.
The future where I keep going with Devin and never ever tell Charlie.
That sounds interesting.
When I feel guilty about it, I think about all the famous cheaters. Leonard Cohen, Anais Nin. I use their stories to justify my behavior. All the men in the 1950s got to cheat on their wives. Why don't I get to cheat on mine?
I can make you mine, taste your lips of wine, anytime, night or day.
The future where I decide that romantic love is irrelevant, I buy a house with my sister, we co-parent, and sing duets until we die.
And that is why. Whenever I want you, all I gotta do is dream.
The future where I leave my life and career in Montreal, move to Nova Scotia, say goodbye to Charlie, get married to Devin, and am miserable.
I'm open to compromise. I'm open to it not being my way.
We can never agree on whose dream to pursue.
I got plane tickets today.
for us to go to Argentina.
I thought we were going to go sail. Like, we were going to fix that sailboat and go sailing. It's like a nightmare.
But that's what ayahuasca is supposed to be.
It's an actual nightmare.
It's supposed to be a nightmare.
In our garden, I tore up all of last year's plants and I planted a whole bunch of lavender.
I was really looking forward to the carrots.
Like, I've never done the train across Canada before.
Canada?
Yeah.
Siberia. Trans-Siberian train. Why would you want to see Edmonton when you could see St. Petersburg? Wow. I just think it's way more exciting, St. Petersburg.
You always say that.
What? I always say St. Petersburg.
That it's more exciting.
What? We like to vote on what we want to do.
Yeah, but you have more voting power because you're a dick.
I mean, I think we're more complicated than our genitalia.
Easy for you to say.
And then there's the future where I break up with Devin, get married to Charlie, and am miserable. We have three kids, and we fight every day about how to bring them up.
Hey, KP.
What?
Can you put some clothes on or something?
Why?
You know how I feel about this.
Charlie, I just wanna walk naked in front of our babies. I don't understand why it's a problem. Freedom, nudity, love, joy, happiness.
I've always wanted to walk naked in front of my babies.
So, do you wanna?
Not really.
Me neither.
I don't know if I ever wanna have sex again.
The future where I commit to long-term monogamy and completely give up on desire and romance.
Cool, so we're never doing it again, right?
No.
The moment we both confessed that we didn't give a shit was the greatest liberation of our adult lives. I'm 83, lipstick in hand. I'm applying the thin red line that has become my lips.
Oh, fuck.
Reapply. I'm getting ready for my hot date with Sandra across the hall. She will smooch and caress my soft, weathered skin all afternoon. One of us will die soon, and the other will be alone again. At this age, I'm so accustomed to the period of solitude that comes between great loves that I almost look forward to it. I look forward to it the way one might look forward to savasana in yoga class. A little too much. It turns out, love is like hitchhiking. You wait to catch a ride and enjoy the company until you get dropped off at the next place.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. How are you?
Not so great, to be honest.
What's up?
You said that yesterday you were gonna talk to Charlie and just not hearing from you last night or today. I've been just kind of really wondering how it went and Anyways, I don't mean to make this about my anxiety. I guess I've just been also trying to get a hold of you. I'm just wondering how you're doing, and I mean, how's it going? How did it go? Did you talk?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk to him.
Okay.
So, I don't want to end it with him.
What?
I think we have to stop talking, Devin.
We need to stop talking?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
To go. I'm sorry, I have to. I love you.
Charlie, what are you doing?
I'm just doing.
Where are you going?
I'm doing laundry.
Oh. Do you want me to come? In the end, I decide I'm never going to tell Charlie.
It's your body, your heart, soul, and sickness, and fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you want to wash the sweater?
Yeah.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing. Yeah, it's time.
Hey, what's wrong?
It's just a sad day. I need a hug.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Can we go watch TV or something? Okay.
In a book called All About Love, bell hooks says that romantic love is one of the most destructive ideals in the history of human thought. That even saying to fall in love perpetuates the idea that love is something that happens to us. It takes us away with it by some mysterious current. She says that love is supposed to be something that we do, something that we practice, not something that we have or find or even feel. It's not some magic spell. I know that the decision I made to be with Charlie was based on some intuition that this was the truth. That Devin was a storybook, and Charlie was real life. And that somehow, that was the greater adventure of the two.
This was episode 4 of The Shadows. Follow us on Instagram at TheShadowsCBC, Twitter at TheShadowsCBC, and you can follow the real-life Caitlin Prest at Caitlin Prest. On Instagram, there are pictures of Moncheron, the most beautiful, unknowable, indescribable city, and all the many weirdos that live there. If you go to our website, you can peek at all the secret correspondences that happened between Devin and KP. These are tiny, magical audio recordings you can't hear anywhere else. Please remember to review us on iTunes. This episode was written, directed, and produced by my best friend and life advisor, Caitlin Prest. Principal performers include Mitchell Akiyama and Johnny Spence. You also heard Harry Nazen, Sharon Mashihi, that's me, and Natalie Natapupu Prest. Brilliantly composed music on brown electric piano came from Johnny Spence, who also moonlights as Devin. Our team includes Radio Goddess Caitlin Prest, Art Fairy Phoebe Wang, the person who's talking to you right now, Sharon Mashihi, Yasmin Maturin, Olivia Pascarelli, Shani Aviram, and Arif Nurani is our executive producer, Tanya Springer is senior producer of CBC Podcasts, and Leslie Merklinger, who is the person who made this show possible by saying, yes, you can make the shadows. She's the senior director of audio innovation. Our advisory board is a group of people who painstakingly listened to episode after episode, draft after draft, and were bold enough to be honest with us when things weren't working. They're each incredible artists in their own right, and we are so grateful to them. Dylan Ghosh, Muj Zaidi, and Jonathan Mitchell. Special thanks to the one, the only, Greg Wong, and also the one and only. I guess there's only one and only of each of us. If you really think about it, Ray Dooley. Greg and Ray both participated in script development. They worked with us workshopping scenes and helped The Shadows be what it is.
Dear Devin, this is really hard. I wish you were.